We want to welcome in studio now Nick D'Addario, who is running as a Democrat, a Democratic candidate for first electman in the town of Easton. If you were listening to the show earlier this week, we had the Republican candidate on the show. And so we very much want to hear from both sides every time we have a local election going on. And we want you to show up to the polls and to know who the people are that you are voting for. And so, Nick, welcome in studio. It's great to have you here. Hold on. There we go. Oh, no, you're not muted.
Thank
right?
you.
That's helpful if we unmute
Glad
you
to
there.
Be here.
It's great to have you here, Nick. And first of all, talk a little bit about yourself. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, so I'm currently on the Board of Selectmen. I've served for the past 2 years. And before that, I was on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I run a local business called Hi-Ho Energy Services. It's a fourth-generation family-owned and operated business that was founded in 1927 by my great-grandfather. Very proud to run it and continue the legacy. We service people in New Haven and Fairfield County, and it's a great tradition. We have customers that have been with us for 60 years. So I bring a business experience and public service experience. I'm running for first electman to replace Dave Bendelglass, who I've worked hand-in-hand with over the past 2 years. He was the first Democrat elected in Easton in about 40 years. So we're hoping to continue to build on his legacy of transparency. Our platform, I'm running with someone, I should probably mention this, Adrian Burke, who owns Greiser's, one of the few businesses that we have in town. It's a coffee shop, very popular with people. And she's a great partner. I'm looking forward to working with her if I'm elected. We're running on a platform called Preservation with Progress. What that means is we want to preserve and protect our farms and open space, prevent overdevelopment, prevent high-density development, prevent commercialization, but also we need to invest in things. We need to understand that the world doesn't stop. We need to invest in things like the EMS building that Dave and I worked so hard to get renovated. We need to invest in our school infrastructures. We need to invest in things like a student program for the elementary and middle school, and many, many more things.
So can I be blunt with you, Nick? I'm honestly surprised that we heard from you so quickly. As I mentioned earlier, we had your opponent in studio, and it was made incredibly clear to us that you are not interested in talking to the local media, and that I could try, but I probably wouldn't hear from you.
No, we've heard a lot of that. I've never met my opponent. I've served on the
You've
board.
Never met your
no,
opponent?
No, I've served on the board for. I've been in the room with him a few times. I've served on the Board of Selectmen for 2 years, and again, I'm planning zoning for a year before that. I go to, hundreds of community events in that time, try to attend everything. Maybe it's a bad example, but I'm sort of like Tony Wong. I like to show up at a lot of things.
it's not a bad example. We like Senator Wong. It's okay.
But no, I'm happy to talk with anyone about anything, anytime. It's funny, some of the loudest people online that have been saying those things, they've never taken the opportunity to email or call me. I'm an open book. So I'm happy to have this opportunity. One of the things I think that has been discussed a few times is the lack of a debate this season. And I want to address that because it was talked about quite a bit. We wanted to have a debate. We reached out in July. Within 30 minutes, we got an email from my opponent saying that he refused to debate with the Easton Courier, which was our suggestion. It's a local newspaper in conjunction with Sacred Heart. It was said that Sacred Heart has a hidden agenda and that the Easton Courier is biased. We then reached out a few other times asking for other suggestions of objective, neutral moderators. We were met with personal attacks and accusations, bizarre language and emails. I want to make it clear, his running mate, Christy Sagoski, who is a great partner on the Board of Selectmen, she was nothing but a professional throughout that process, and many other people involved with the Republican Town Committee were nothing but professionals. So we tried doing that, and finally there was a suggestion to use a former Republican first selectman and a Democrat elected official as co-moderators, and we rejected that because that's not a neutral moderator. And at that point, there was so much back and forth, three or four threads, different answers from Christy and Dan, that we decided that it would be better to go directly to the public. And we've done that. We've knocked on 1,650 doors. There's only 2,400 doors in Easton. We've talked with hundreds of voters. We're doing a candidate forum on October 17th at the library at 6 p.m. And we also filmed last night and will release later today an Ask Me Anything, sort of a version of the Reddit AMA that is very popular, where we address a lot of the issues. I think it's important to directly speak with Easton voters. It's my favorite part of the job, is going out there and knocking on doors and talking about the concerns. And preservation is a top concern for Easton voters, but there's so many other issues people are facing right now. People are concerned about things on the federal and state level. They're concerned about, a fact that I've learned recently, 9% of Easton residents are food insecure. So we're talking about a food pantry on a larger scale than we have right now. People are concerned about taxes going up, and we're trying to make sure taxes remain stable while also investing in the infrastructures that we need.
So, you know, this is obviously a little bit of a pitch for me, but this is not just to you, Nick. I will say, actually, last night and again tonight, I will be in Milford doing public forums for the Board of Education, because I believe so much in local elections and people understanding the importance of showing up to them. I also am not a party girl, never been affiliated, don't plan on it, would love to abolish parties, if that's my own opinion.
Good for you. My running mate's an unaffiliated. Actually.
Well, if you guys ever decide, it doesn't have to be this election, but moving forward, if Easton is ever looking for an unbiased, again, journalist who only just wants the facts for your taxpayers, your residents, all of that, you let me know.
We would love that in the future, I think. I think we're 11 days out, and right now we've got a lot of talking to do.
Totally.
Early voting's October 20th, so I appreciate the offer, and I'm looking forward to doing that in the future.
Okay.
Hopefully for a re-election bid.
We have in studio Nick D'Addario, who is the Democratic candidate running for first selectman in the town of Easton. And Nick, I want to talk about a couple of the things you had said just at the beginning of this conversation. Which was one thing you said was prevent commercialization.
Yes.
So we want to obviously progress Easton forward into, you know, kind of being, I want to say, sort of striking a balance, it seems like. Development, for example, like you had mentioned the EMS building. That is something I've had EMS on for the last, I don't know how many
years
on this.
They're amazing. We have great volunteers. You know, it took 30 years to get that building built.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of opponents, obstructionists along that way. And I always say, no matter what happens in November, for the rest of my life, I can drive by that building and say that I helped build that. And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, John Arnold is a regular on this show. Anytime there's an update on that building, and we've been tracking it specifically on my show for years, I was
currently
very excited to see.
And on budget, so yeah, that's very good.
I was very excited to see that that is something that is staying a priority.
That's the kind of progress that we're talking about. I think there's the tendency when people hear the word progress, that I've had people say from the other side, you can't have preservation progress. And that's just a crazy concept. There has to be progress in life and in the world. We live in more complex times, whether it's something as simple as having a town attorney on retainer versus using an hourly rate, to something more important like an EMS building. We don't have commercial businesses in our town. We don't want commercial businesses in our town. We have four pre-existing businesses and farms, which is a great part of our community. And we want to support those businesses. Greiser's is a very good example. My running mate owns Greiser's. She runs it, rents it from Dick Greiser, who's a longtime resident, multi-generational. And she took a 100-year institution in our town and refreshed it with a modern flair. You know, it's a little shop with trinkets, coffees. That's what we mean by progress. Progress doesn't mean CVS or Walmart. I don't want any businesses in our town. I moved to Easton, where my family has been for years, because I want to raise my son in a rural community with all the charm. And I mean, we are truly a gem in Fairfield County. We're close to everything, but it's this peaceful, natural area. And when it comes to development, you know, we need to recognize how we can combat that, right?
I mean, I have to be honest, Nick, I had this real vision from the conversation I had with your opponent on this show that is not the vision that you have for Easton.
I think
Easton.
Maybe just because my last name, and we've been involved in local businesses for generations.
Maybe.
People tend to assume that.
I mean,
that.
The picture that was painted, again, just from a listener standpoint, was overdevelopment, farmland being in jeopardy, natural resources being in jeopardy, Easton losing the character that so many people bought for.
These things, and I agree with my opponent on this, they are in jeopardy. We need to work smartly and intelligently. We need to partner with land trusts like we did on the South Park property. We partner with the Esbuk Land Trust. Give you an idea of some of the people on the other side of the aisle, my opponent included, they were concerned about the land trust owning that property because the land trust might develop it one day, which the mental gymnastics of that is mind-boggling to me. We need to partner with land trust. We need to partner with the state. We need to meet with local farm owners and talk about succession planning because farming is not a multi-generational business like it used to be. We need to continue to do things like that to make sure that we preserve as much land and protect as much open space as we can. And I'm against high-density development. I don't know. We didn't talk about this earlier, but I was against HB 5002.
Oh, yeah, right.
Very strongly advocated it, talked with the governor, talked with the governor's staff, wrote letters. You know, I didn't just write a letter. I was working the phones. And I think that affordability is an issue in Connecticut in general. But in Easton, in a town like Easton, we don't have the infrastructure for that kind of high-density housing. If you told me we should change 830G on the state level because the criteria needs to be different for different communities.
I have asked for that for so many years.
Under 10,000 people in our town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you said to Easton residents, you need to build 30 affordable single-family homes in the next 5 or 10 years, I think we would all take a big breath and say, that makes sense. We should do our part like other towns. But when you're telling us we need 400 or 500 units, that's basically like putting an expressway through the Bronx back in the day and destroying a community. And we're not going to do that.
So you, that's interesting. So you came out against HB 5002.
I was the first person on the Board of Selectmen to do that, yes.
Really? Yes. Interesting. I mean, and again, I say interesting very lightly because, you know, the late Bill Gerber, Democrat in Fairfield, he was against it. I mean, it was very bipartisan, especially in Fairfield County, that they were against it. But I think that's important because, again, the picture that had been painted was very much that Easton would be overdeveloped.
I think the difference is I'm not going to use the potential for an 830G development to stoke fear and spread misinformation during an election cycle. So what I've said is, look, there's a project on the Trumbull-Easton border right now, 77 units, and those units, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to fight like hell to stop. It has to pass 5 boards and commissions in 3 towns. But I'm not going to lie to residents and say we can stop an 830G development, period, because it's a state law. What we should be doing is spending our time advocating on the state level for exemptions for a town like Easton. The watershed is very important. Also, a town of our size just can't take that kind of influx of residents.
Mm-hmm. So another thing was a lot of zoning. Zoning kept coming up as mm-hmm. the way that zoning works in Easton and that changed under the Bindleglass administration. To your point, we had not seen a Democratic leadership in Easton mm-hmm. in quite some time. Again, just want some clarity on zoning
as well. So we're right now we're working towards putting a new zoning enforcement ordinance in that will allow us to levy like a lien on someone's house. And we need more enforcement powers. There was an example recently of a yoga studio that was a major home-based business. And, they weren't following the rules. They should have been shut down. We need more power to shut businesses down like that. And we need more clarity for the people that are trying to have at-home-based businesses. Because I think it's hard to have consistency with that.
Nick, you and I were talking during the commercial break briefly, and I thought it was worth sharing with people why you truly have decided to run for first selectman. What's driving your need to want to run?
I mean, my son. I have a 4.5-year-old son, Fritz. I want to make sure he's raised in a town like Easton, the way it is now, the rural character, the close community. My running mate and I have both tried to build community. She's built this amazing hub of community in Easton. And it's just special. I mean, yeah, you run into I was sitting outside having coffee the other day, and I ran into, 5 people that I know. There's something unique about Easton in a place like Fairfield County. I grew up in Fairfield. Fairfield isn't what Fairfield was 20 years ago, and we're going to try our hardest to keep Easton the way it is, but thoughtfully plan for the future, and that's key.
striking that balance, it sounds like. Well, Nick D'Addario, I want to wish you luck. I also want to thank you for, by the way, I think we reached out to your campaign and we heard within an hour of us reaching out to you. So I want to thank you for
I'm happy to come back anytime.
Well, I appreciate it. And I wish you luck. And certainly for Easton residents, as Nick mentioned, I should say the early voting will start on October 20th. And election day for November 4th. And make sure you're going out to your local elections.
There's a lot of things online, on the line here in this election. And it's critical that we have a sober mind and steady leadership moving forward. So I hope that I've earned everyone's vote. I know that the response at the doors when I'm talking to residents have been amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing people at the polls.
Nick D'Addario, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.